This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, it's Freestyle Friday, everybody, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 29th, episode 1483, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
In the summer of 2016, the Olympics are coming to Rio. 17 breathtaking days, 17 incredible nights. Undoubtedly sport's greatest spectacle.
Usain Bolt is still the king. Oh my gosh! Alex Morgan has done it! And it's over!
For the first time, Brazil welcomes the world. A new host, new stories, the same glory.
Repeat Olympic gold!
Faster, higher, stronger. The 2016 Rio Olympic Games, live on the networks of NBC Universal.
5 days, 1 week from today, baby. It starts. I'm starting to get excited now.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm starting to get
excited. All the drama back and forth, and is it going to happen, and this and that, and is it going to be safe, and you're feeling good about it?
I am. I think I'm getting excited. You know, it's going to go off. They'll do it. We won't see most of the drama, right? That'll be happening behind the scenes.
You want me to suck the fun out of your statement?
What?
Did you see the Pollock Report's post?
Yeah, but that was old. That was a deceiving post. It was a post about
two horses at Olympic Equestrian
in 2015
euthanized due to glanders.
It was
glanders.
A year ago. It wasn't even recent. So that's why I kind of discounted it, because it was kind of a deceiving, I thought, warmongering post by Pollock Report.
Olympic officials say that visiting horses competing in the games will be housed in a protective biosphere at the Rio Airport.
Nothing to worry about.
And will remain in quarantine throughout their entire time in the country. So,
what's a protective biosphere, by the way?
I don't know, but it sounds like this is definitely something to be scared of, Glenn.
It'll be fine.
Glanders is a contagious disease, which has been eradicated in many other parts of the world. Glanders is a bacterial infection, which causes ulcers and lesions on the horse's skin and lungs, and it's fatal. But the good news is, wait, hold on. They can carry it for a long time before succumbing to it. And wait, oh, wait, hold on. Horses can give it to humans.
Nothing to worry about. You know what's more of a concern, Jamie, is spontaneous poop fires. That is more of a concern than glanders ever will be.
Oh, please tell me.
It's New York. New York. It's been so hot up there in upstate New York that a fire erupted at this farm in Throp. It's a horse farm in Throp, New York. The neighbors started calling the police, apparently, when they started smelling this awful smell coming from this horse stable. So the officer responded and found that the manure pile had spontaneously combusted, and it took three local fire departments 2 hours to put it out. Like us horse people don't have enough to worry about than combusting poop.
Now, that's the worst, because all of us know that smell.
Yeah.
Where there's a manure pile and it's like you can see it steaming.
Yeah.
But isn't it wrong to put water on that fire? Like, how do you get that fire out?
I guess they hosed it down. I don't know. You know, our neighbor, I got to tell you a funny story. So we put our poop in a neighbor's pit. We live in the neighborhood here, has all of these sinkholes because it was an old phosphorus mine. And I guess parts of it have sunk. So this hole is like 25 feet wide and about 30 feet deep. And we've been for 10 years, they've been putting the poop in it, right? For a couple of different farms. So that's where we pour our poop, is in this hole. Well, last year he was mad because all of this stuff was growing in the, he likes his property to be perfect. So he thought he would set the entire hole on fire to get the shrub and grasses and stuff out of there that he didn't like in there. So he poured fuel down there and set it on fire. Well, we happened to be outside when we saw this all coming down. The flames went like 50 feet in the air. I don't think he realized that setting an enormous pile of poop on fire wasn't necessarily a good idea because of all the gases. The flames shot up at least 50 feet. I thought he was burning down the entire neighborhood. You should have seen his face. It was
My gosh. Did he like light the match and drop it
yes.
in?
Yes.
Like,
and the whole thing went...
Like,
I mean, the trees.
That's exactly the sound.
Up top were burning. I mean, I thought the whole neighborhood was going down.
There's a thing going around the internet, and it's reasons why women live longer than men. And it's men that do really stupid
like
stuff that a woman would never do. And that falls in that category of like why women live longer than men.
He hasn't done it this year. I think that he learned his lesson. I thought the fire department was going to have to come out. I really did.
You want to kill the weeds? Go up. Don't pull them.
Don't
jump
set...
down in that hole.
Okay, let's not pour fuel over a smoldering pile of poop is the lesson there and set it on fire. Not a good idea.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Bless his heart. That's what you say. Bless his heart.
Bless his heart. And it smelled for weeks after, you know, because we disturbed the fumes and it smelled for weeks. Oh,
bless his heart. On that note, Jennifer, what's coming up on our Happy Friday show?
Could we start on any better note than those two stories? Go ahead, Jennifer.
Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, we are going to start in a very happy place, and that's going to be Chincoteague Island in Virginia. And John Leonard, one of the volunteer wranglers, is going to stop by and tell us what it's like to be to help out moving the ponies back and forth between the island for Pony Penning Day. And then Shelly Mann is going to call in live from Tryon, North Carolina, and she is at the United States Pony Club's Championships East. And this is the first time they're having it at Tryon. So she's going to call in and tell us what's going on there. And then rounding out our week, we are going to be giving away our Carrots Competitor Coat, spelled with a K. Thank you very much to the lucky winner after really bad ads.
I love giving stuff away. That's the best part of this job is giving stuff away.
Isn't that the truth?
Yep. Happy birthday to our auditor, Lisa Lemke. It's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Lisa.
Happy birthday, Lisa. My daily Winnie goes to a horse. I know you're going to be shocked.
yeah, big surprise.
Yeah. Check this out. So guess what's going on this weekend?
What's going on this weekend?
It's a big horse race. It's called the Haskell. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes,
yes,
heard of the Haskell.
Okay, so the Haskell is this weekend, and guess who is running in it?
No idea.
That's right. Kentucky Derby winner Nyquist and Preakness winner Exaggerator are going head-to-head to meet on Sunday for the fifth time in 9 months, sixth time overall, when they hook up as the top two morning line choices for the mile and the eighth Haskell. Boom! I'm excited about the race.
I see that. But you surprised me because I really thought your Daily Winnie was going to go to American Cleopatra.
Well, tell me more.
American Cleopatra, sister to American Pharaoh, sister to American Pharaoh, is running on the first race on July 31st at Del Mar.
See? Sunday Del Mar is the place to be.
Yeah.
Two huge races. Oh my gosh, seriously, American Pharaoh sisters run for
American
the first time?
American Cleopatra, that's a cool name too, isn't it? So yeah, and she has been doing her workouts with Bob Baffert, of course, and apparently is looking good. So Bob says she's pretty quick. She has a nice stride. She's not as big as Pharaoh, not as tall. She's made a little bit differently, but she's strong. So let's hope she does better than Zenyatta's kids coming up.
You, first of all, that was unnecessary. That was an
just
unnecessary
say, I just
comment.
Made an observation. That's all.
This is not Zenyatta's sister running. This is not American Pharaoh's sister. It's a daughter. It's his sister. You just love to jab.
I spent one half an hour last night trying to find a good resource, a good page that showed us just at the Olympics when the equestrian events were going to be in a nice, orderly fashion. I spent a half an hour with Reese and Philip on the phone. We were trying to figure out what this was. We went to the Rio Olympics page. We went to NBC's page. What a freaking nightmare they are to get around. So I finally found it. I don't even know. It's unitarium.com. I don't even know what this is, but I found the link. Jennifer's going to post it on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. It tells you your time and the Rio time for every equestrian event on every day. So there you go. It was the easiest page I found. So just to give everybody a quick rundown, equestrian starts on the 6th, and that's with eventing. Eventing is first on the 6th through the 9th, and cross country day will be on the 8th, which is Friday the 8th. No, it's Monday. I'm sorry, Monday the 8th. We're looking at the wrong month. So they're having cross country
right
on a Monday.
You can't get it right, Glenn. Come on.
They're doing it on a Monday. So keep that in mind when you're taking your sick day to watch it on NBC. And then dressage starts on the 10th. That goes through the 12th. And jumping starts on the 14th and goes all the way through the 19th. Jumping is 4 days. So that's the schedule as it stands now. But the big day everybody cares about is equestrian jumping on cross country on the Monday the 8th.
That is not the only day people care about. It is the best, obviously.
And it starts at 9 a.m. most days, Eastern time. So it's normal, too. We don't have to get up at 3 in the morning to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I just thought we'd post that because it was so hard to find. Now, you are heading out tomorrow. To Monty Roberts' place, you're going to Flags Up Farm in Solvang, California. Is everything packed? Are the horses standing on the trailer waiting for you?
Yeah, I loaded them yesterday. I was like, just stand there. Yeah. We're ready.
We're ready. I'm out of here.
I picked up my Coggins and health certificate and Coggins yesterday from the vet. And so everything is ready. I'm so excited. So my clothes are packed. I packed like 2 days ago. The food is
really?
All ready.
You're ahead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was way ahead. I'm so excited. So for those who haven't heard me talk a million times about it, I'm going to Monty Roberts and I'm going to spend two childless weeks.
Yeah, judging by horses. Your Facebook posts, I can always tell how it's going at your house, judging by your Facebook posts. And all I saw posts of this week were your child crying. So I'm imagining that you had a bit of a stressful week this week.
Chad's back and he's loading Lucas on a plane at 10:45 this morning to fly to Oklahoma to spend the 2 weeks with Nana and Papa and his cousins. And I'm going to stand at the end of the driveway and just wave. And just fan my eyes. I'm going to miss you guys so much. And then they're going to turn out of the driveway and go down the road. And then there's a first left that you make. And then the car is out of sight. And I will be doing a happy dance at the end of my driveway. That it's like, it's just like the good Lord has come down and said, here you go. We're going to make your week hell so you don't miss that little effort one bit. Like, I mean, it has been tough. Chad just got home late last night. So I've been by myself with the 3-year-old who is obsessed with the iPad and cries when it needs to be charged and then cries when he wakes up and cries when he goes to sleep and cries when he has to eat and
Karma and the universe are taking care of you, Jamie.
I know.
Now it's going to take you about 4 or 5 days to miss your little one instead of missing him the second day.
I know. It's so funny. I'm like, oh, I miss you guys so much. They're gone! Dogs, on the couch.
and he's going to grandma's, right? So you don't even have to worry about that then. He'll
chickens, come on in the house. Let's go. We're having an animal party in my house.
So you head out tomorrow. You'll be coming to us live from Flag Is Up Farm, Monty Roberts Farm, on Monday, right?
Starting Monday. We did it last time, so I'm hoping the internet holds out and works. And I would like to do a question, like an Ask Monty episode, and just have Monty in there with us, because that was like my favorite episode ever. But I've already got questions rolling in as messages.
Oh, do you? Oh, good.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? They're like, oh yeah, can you ask Monty this? So we'll have to do a segment, because I think at least a segment, if not a whole episode, just talking to him about
Yeah, we could do a special episode too, put it out on the weekend too if you want to. And we can devote the whole thing.
That's perfect. Let's do it. But yeah, it'd be great. So we are definitely going to keep you guys up to date. The first week is Monty's special training. And I think it's just basically Monty training horses. I am taking one of my client's ponies.
Oh, really? So you're taking three?
I'm taking three. I'm taking my two Mustangs, which the next week I'm doing a join up and long lining two different clinics next week, the week after. So Thor and Zeus are actually going to be used in those clinics. And then the Monty special training, if you've seen that cute, stinking cute little halflinger pony that one of my students owns, I've posted pictures. Well, he's great when he comes over to my house, but apparently the girl can't do anything with him because she's nine and he's two negatives, a draft horse and a pony. So it's like double negatives. It's like the worst. So he's like a little jerk. So we're taking him too. He's going to be used in some of the clinics, Monty.
Just like anything else, we've seen halflinger ponies that have been absolute dolls and then ones who haven't, just like any other breed.
He's an absolute doll when he just every once in a while just runs away when she's leading him or when she's
He's going to get Monty special training.
Yeah. Oh yeah, a special drink. And I was called Denise to set it up. She's like, "Well, what does he do?" And I'm like, "Everything." She's like, "Well, you know, does he have some bad behaviors?" And I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Trust me, you'll be able to use him in 3 or 4 to 8 different clinics as demos." But like, we're just gonna have the day of the pony.
Speaking of ponies, I know these ponies don't do anything wrong. They're all angels and sweethearts, right?
Oh, I'm sure they are. And we were going to hear about them from a cowboy. We're going to talk to a cowboy this morning. You know, I always love spending the mornings talking to cowboys. John Leonard is a native of Chincoteague and probably knows everything we need to know about the event, which we talked to a listener on, was it Monday?
Wednesday.
That was there live. So we welcome John to the show. John, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? Thank you for joining us. Is this super early for a cowboy, or you've been up for hours?
Oh, no, I've been up for hours. all day, all week, up for hours.
I'm sure. Is this a really exciting... I mean, it's got to be the most exciting week of the year in Chincoteague.
Oh yeah, it's definitely, it's an economic driver. There's so many people here. The island sinks in one direction, Pony Sunday, when there's that many people there.
It tilts, it lists.
Well, before we get to the ponies, let's talk a little bit about you. Tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm a college student, but I've lived here my whole life. My dad's the mayor, actually.
Oh, really?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but I'm a member of the fire department here on the island, which owns all the ponies, and I'm a member of their pony committee, which makes the decisions regarding them. And I've recently become a cowboy just in the past year or so, but I think I've made leaps and bounds towards that, and I ride in the swim, and we do the auction and everything like that. But it's a great part of, I mean, it's a part of life out here, and it's a heritage. My grandfather was one of the original, 8 or 9 riders that started, the whole deal. And he was kind of a second, his uncle rode, and he kind of rode, and he rode for a long time, and then he became the auction foreman for forever. And then my dad skipped the generation, but he's one of the pony boat captains, the guys that kind of guide them across the channel. But it's a great thing to be a part of.
How many people are actually natives there? How many people live there?
On Chincoteague, only about 3,000.
Okay.
Now, a little history here, because I've never seen it, and you're saying words that I feel like I should know, but maybe I don't. So after a little history here, I'm going to get down to kind of a little more about what you do see and what people do. In 1925, mm-hmm. the town authorized the Volunteer Fire Company to hold a carnival, during pony penning to raise funds, And that year, 15 colts were sold, and it's to benefit the fire company because they realized they didn't have enough firefighting equipment. And is that the first year that the ponies were swam over to be auctioned?
Yep. Yeah, that's the first time they ever did it on Singleton. Now, they'd done the penning on Assateague before, but they never did anything where they sold the foals or anything like that. That was the first.
So apparently it was a huge success, and Pony Swim started gathering visitors. In 1937, there were 25,000 people there. 1937, mm-hmm. estimated to have 25,000. So how many people come now?
Well, you know, it's a really hard guess, because when that many people come on the island, it is just mass organized chaos. It's pretty busy. We guess anywhere from 30,000 to 40,000, maybe more, maybe less. We know that the public transportation system, which runs on the Pony Swim Day, they drop off about 20,000 people every day to the swim site in Memorial Park. So, and then you've got everybody else in their boats and people that drove, and so we don't really know, but it's a lot.
Unbelievable. Now, I believe that your title is it Saltwater Cowboy?
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
So when I said cowboy, I should have specified he's a saltwater cowboy.
There's not too many of those around. That's got to be a unique title, Saltwater Cowboy.
Yeah. There's only about 40 of us right now, and then there's past people. There's only about 40 riders.
Wow. So tell me how this works. So you're like, hey, time to get up and go around the ponies and chase them into the ocean. How does this work? Tell me about the start.
So we've got on Assateague, which is the neighboring island next to Singleton towards the Atlantic Ocean. There's about 140 ponies. We have a federal lease for grazing permit for about 150 from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife. That's what you have to have ponies on federal land. And we have that permit, and we keep about 140 over there through the winter. Sometimes some die off, but we do a round of three times a year. We do one in the spring, one in the summer, and one in the fall. Now, the spring and the fall are just veterinary checks for these ponies. They get top of the line vet care. They all get vaccinated, dewormed, everything like that. Everything that the veterinarian deems necessary for them. And if they need individual care, they get that as well. But it's a really kind of cool event to come see, because wild ponies being herded by horseback is pretty uncommon nowadays. There's not very much of it still going on. And these guys, all wild, they live out there 364 days a year, with the exception of the one day where they're on Singleton. Mm-hmm. But the way that it works is we have two enclosures that the government has deemed necessary for the ponies. They don't want them running around. They can get hit by a car or something like that. People are not always the smartest when it comes to horses. So what we do is we actually round up the southern end first, and that's a smaller enclosure. That's only about 500 acres. And then we go up to the northern end the next day. That starts at the Maryland-Virginia line, and we ride south, and we funnel them down to a corral. And now it's about 100 ponies up there. It's a lot more, and it's a lot harder riding, too. But that takes the better part of 6 or 7 hours. But beyond that, in the summertime, we have the auction and the swim, which are really, really special events. But we got to, since the herds aren't connected in any way, we actually have to walk the ponies down the beach early this past Monday morning. And we walk them down the beach at sunrise. So that's a really gorgeous event to come see. That 3,000 or 4,000 people come to see that a year.
Wow.
And that's really special, because it's the ponies, the cowboys, but on the other side of the ponies, the left-hand side of the ponies, is the ocean. So it's gorgeous. Sometimes we'll see dolphins and every other thing that's out there. But after that, the vet checks them all. and he'll tell the fire company anyone that should not swim due to their age or the falls are just too small. They can swim when they're a couple of days old, but the vet says they should probably be 2 weeks old to go through that experience. Mm-hmm. But early Wednesday morning, we go out and we'll take both the herds, which are connected, and we'll go out to a marsh. And then from there, we'll walk them down the marsh to a peninsula. And this peninsula is probably one of the closest places from Assateague to Chincoteague. It's right in the Assateague Channel. And we'll drive the ponies in the water and we'll swim to Chincoteague. And that takes about 6 minutes. It's not very long. So 40,000 people are here for 6 minutes of a good show. And it's a really cool event. I definitely recommend watching it on YouTube or something. Or come seeing it in person. Nothing like it. But it's very cool. And once we get to the other side, the cowboys get trailered across, or we get barged across. And we'll take the ponies and walk them up the streets of Chincoteague to the carnival grounds where we hold our carnival. And we'll put them all in holding pens there. And then yesterday morning we went out and separated the foals that are old enough to be separated from their mothers. So that was about 57 foals, I believe, is what we sold.
Okay, wait a minute. We've all had mamas and babies. And I got to tell you, that can be a loud experience when you're separating one mama from a baby. How loud does that get when you're separating 57 mamas from babies?
We have to do it one at a time.
Yeah, but I mean, the screaming all day must be incredible.
Yeah, well, you know, most of the mothers are used to it. And they never really throw. I mean, they're obviously for their purposes. They definitely don't feel comfortable with all that milk building up. So they'll get kind of anxious. But I think for the most part, they know what's going on.
Maybe, John, it's easier in a group like that, too. When we're doing it, we're always separating one mama from one baby, right?
Yeah.
And
you know, more often than not, those mamas are very attached to their baby because they don't, you know, these foals will run around and have friends and everything like that on Assateague. It's part of a group. And then once that swim time happens, the moms, which by then the foals are getting to be kind of a burden to the wild ponies. After about 3 months or so, it starts dragging the health of the mares down. Just because it's an island, you know, it's got wild grass. They've got to sustain themselves, and they're already pregnant again because they only get about 7 to 14 days after they have that foal of freedom, and then they're right back to being pregnant.
God,
those stallions are busy.
I hate men right
guys,
now. Listen,
they're pregnant about 90% of their lives. They'll usually have foals. I think the oldest one that had a foal this year was 22, and their lifespan is anywhere from 20 to 25.
Jamie was just complaining about her only child that's 3 years old. Imagine Jamie.
God bless America.
They're pregnant. They're pregnant all year round.
Ladies, let this be a lesson to you girls, young girls that are listening. Abstinence is the key, okay? Just say no to that boy who's trying to touch your boobies. Don't let them. This is a perfect example of why you don't do that.
I keep telling all of the women around that men only ever have two things in mind, food and sex. And, you know, it doesn't matter whether it's two-legged or four-legged. It's true, though, right, John?
Yeah,
they give us too much credit for actually having intelligent thought. We don't have that. We have two things in mind, food and sex. That's it. We're simple.
Wow. And women, apparently these mares are just like, all right, fine.
Yeah, that's right. I'm in.
Yeah, yeah. They don't want to go along with it, and then they'll get kicked in the stud. But eventually, they give in.
God, annoying.
Now, you auction them off. Has the auction happened yet?
Yeah, we did the auction yesterday.
How'd it go? What are the prices like?
8 to 12. So we sold 57 of them for $150,000. That's what the grand total was. Yeah, they're pretty expensive. They're a rare commodity. You don't get them. They've done the swim and the auction, everything like that. But we do a program called the buyback program, and that's a very popular program. Now that program is a program that we designed to keep horses on Assateague so that we can replenish the herd numbers. because we want the herd to stay at 150 or so. So every year after we lose some for the winter, we get a count of how many we lost. And out of that count, we'll decide how many more we can keep. So this year we kept seven little girls. We don't, because we only have about 19 boys over there on Assateague. And there's about 10 girls every boy. So not quite, but there's every harem, every little group of ponies has about, give or take, anywhere from 5 to 10 mares, the biggest being 20 this past year. So
now, is that because
he had a rough life?
Is that because, yeah, poor guy. Is that because you have auctioned off, do you auction off more colts to save the mares, or?
Yeah. We just don't want, having that many colts just makes more fights, more, you know, more danger to the young foals, because they can all, they can get in the way, when they're fighting or anything like that. So 19 or 20 is about the sustainable number for Assateague to keep the babies coming.
Gotcha. That's interesting. So we've got, I just did the math, and you're looking at about $2,600 on average per pony. And is that, when I went to the auction to buy a Mustang, the colorful ones, the paint ones, the spotted ones, the bucks, all those really unique colors kind of go for a lot more money than the good old plain brown ones. Is that the case for the ponies as well?
Yeah, so this year we had a really rare one. It was called, I think it was called Flash of Arrow or something like that. It was all white on bottom and all brown on top. He was very, very gorgeous. He had two blue eyes. He sold for
$10,500.
That was unheard of for somebody to take home. Now, the buybacks, as I was talking about earlier, they're different. The buybacks, people just buy the naming rights. They have to give them back to the fire department. That's how we keep our herds over there. And last year, somebody bought, there's a group, a Facebook group, that bought naming rights to a foal for $25,000.
Whoa.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. This year, the high was $11,000 for a buyback. The average was about eight.
And that's basically, they're just basically given a donation, right? I mean, that's what that
is. Yeah, you can use it as a write-off on your taxes.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a pretty big write-off.
Okay, time out. So this was all put together to help the fire department. When you walk onto Chincoteague Island and you walk into the fire center, is there like flat screen TVs everywhere? There's a gym, the heated pool.
A catered chef.
Got a maid service. What's the deal?
So we're still in the firehouse that was built. They had, the first one was built in the 30s and the second one was built in the 50s. But we're building a new firehouse that's going to cost about $4 million.
Whoa.
So we're in the works of that. But, you know, the ponies, they receive this top of the line vet care, and it really, it costs a lot of money, to be frank. But the carnival each year is really where the fire department's income goes. They get about $500,000 or so each year throughout that carnival. And that's what sustains them throughout the years. I mean, we just bought a brand new fire truck this year. But we're a really big community organization. You know, we can give a lot of groups donations. Like we just bought our youth football league all new equipment, all new shoulder pads and helmets, just because they needed them. They hadn't had any in 10 or so years, so we bought them all new equipment. But it's a big community organization, and we take care of our own people and stuff like that. But no, there's no great big flat screen TVs or anything like that. Most of the ponies' money that they make goes back to sustaining them. So about $150,000 goes back towards the ponies. You know, they spend anywhere in $70,000 to $80,000 a year in vet bills.
You are telling you, John. You're telling the right group of people that horses are expensive. Okay.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah.
You want to vaccinate 57? Okay, hold on. That's $1 million.
Oh no. We have to vaccinate 150. We don't vaccinate the foals. We have to vaccinate the main herd. The foals all get there. But
shots for 150.
A lot of them in that. Yeah. Peanuts.
Well, John, I got a question for you about the town. Okay, so about the island. Where does everybody work? You got 3,000 people that live there, but what do they do?
Yeah.
So most of the time in the summertime, it's mostly tourism that we're moving for. We have a lot of fishermen here. We have, we have some people that work in just, you know, restaurants and stuff. But most of it, if it's not tourism, it's going to be like aqua farms or something like that. It's not a real big town. You know, you know most of the people that live in the town. But the big time of year is definitely summertime for us. Wintertime, it really calms down. And the only thing that's really going on is bird walkers and duck hunting. That becomes a big thing here in the wintertime. But other than that, it's really quite a quiet town.
So you don't really need a dating app for Chincoteague. Everybody knows each other.
Oh, no, that'll never work. No, most certainly not.
But yeah, Tinder for Chincoteague.
For
is
Chincoteague,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
Larry, I'm sure.
It's your neighbor.
Like, hey, I saw you on Tinder. They make fun of each other, yeah.
Oh, my God.
That's funny.
They're like, Tinder me off this island. I got to meet a new boy. That's awesome. Well, John, yeah, thank you so much. This has been a super fun conversation. I'm just really interesting. And it's definitely something that we're going to have to do in life is just come see the ponies, much less watch one of the swims.
Yeah, definitely do.
For sure.
Yeah. And today we're doing the swim back. We're swimming the ponies back across the channel.
Oh, wow.
I'm down at the barn right now, getting ready to saddle up the horse.
Oh, well, we'll let you go. That's awesome. Is there a place that you can go to see the maybe a live video cam or to see photos?
Yeah, you can definitely go on the Facebook pages. If you find the Chincoteague Volunteer Fire Company, you'll see some of there. And if you look on the Chincoteague Legacy Group, they have a closed Facebook page, or the I Love Chincoteague Ponies Facebook page. That'll definitely get you a lot of cool pictures of the ponies over here and a lot about the swim and the auction and everything like that.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much, John. I hope we get to talk to you again next year before the whole thing happens. It'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Sounds great. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, John.
All right. John Leonard, saltwater cowboy.
What a nice guy. Next year, we'll have to get him when he's on the drive on his phone, riding his horse.
He was obviously very busy while he was on that phone call, and he did great. I mean, I was going to say something because I figured he was at the barn.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. Yeah,
I just didn't. I just like kept letting go.
I didn't know about the town and the island. You know, I didn't know about the people that live there. So it was nice to hear a little bit about the people.
The pride that you can hear in his voice.
Well, and the cool thing is they take such good care of the herd. I mean, they really spend the time and the money. You know, they're touching them basically three times a year, and two of those times are for vet care. So, you know, how cool is that? Now, you know, they've had a little bit of a problem, I guess, because they become, because there's so many tourists and visitors, the ponies have become a little bit, you know, they just have become used to humans, but they're still ponies, right? So they've had a little bit of wild ponies, and they have a little bit of problem with that on the beaches, but. We got the quote of the week is from him, and I wrote this down. Jennifer, you can pick this up at 32 minutes into the show. People are not always the smartest when it comes to horses. We're going to cut that out. We'll be using that again.
That's obvious. I thought you were going to say something about he's pregnant.
Oh, yeah. That was
all year long.
Yeah.
I feel very special because back in the day, myself and my siblings contributed to those ponies becoming desensitized to humans because we took every bag of potato chips that we had when we were on vacation there, and we would open the bags and pour them all over the picnic tables outside of our tent and feed them to the ponies.
Oh, how funny.
They loved potato chips.
Like, look, they love me. They're right outside my tent.
Yeah, exactly.
How did they get pregnant within 10 days of having a baby?
A mare has a full heat about 9 days after she's delivered.
Really?
Let me tell you something. After having a baby, I'll kill you if you come near me after 9 days after having a baby. I'll kill you.
Well, let's do this. Let's rearrange. We're going to come back with a list for you today. We were supposed to have a second guest, but I don't know if something came up or what the story is. So we'll come back with a list for you. But first, why don't we do our song? And today I have for you, you know, there's been so much political. I am so sick of Facebook right now. I basically unfollowed everybody that's been posting anything about politics. I think the conventions have been a huge waste of money. They could do that electronically and we'd be done in 5 minutes. But anyway, I'm just so sick of all of that.
It's been cutting into America's Got Talent.
Exactly.
God, I missed the back half. I have to go online to watch.
Are you watching America's Got Talent this year?
Yes, I love that.
Oh, it is great. It's great this year.
I love it now that Simon's on it.
I didn't. Oh, he's been good. He's been almost too kind this year. He's been so friendly and nice.
My mama was like, Simon had a kid. You can tell.
I know. It changed him. I didn't know you've been watching. Now we're going to have an America's Got Talent segment on the show. Right. Carry on. So anyway, I think we all need a drink. So this is what this song is for, is what I'm coming down to.
Sweet.
Sipping turning up the jug, you don't know when enough's enough, and girl, the crazy things you do. So I'm begging you, Jane, stay out of the stillhouse, Jane, stay out of the stillhouse, I know you love that sweet Virginia corn. Oh, Jane, stay out of the stillhouse, Jane, stay out of the stillhouse, don't you go around there anymore.
Templeton Thompson with Stillhouse Jane. You can find all of her music at templetonthompson.com, and she's scheduled to be a guest. We're going to catch up with Templeton later in August, so it'll be good to chat with her again.
Can I throw something in here?
Yeah.
2 hours till my child leaves. Not that I'm counting the clock.
You know, I really wish I had a screaming baby sound effect right now. I really do.
No, I mean, again, I love him. I just haven't liked him very much this week. And I'm going, I've got an entire day just to like pack, organize my stuff. I can't even believe it. I'm trying to say it quietly because my husband's leaving too. And I'm like, bye. I love you, but I just don't like you. Get out my house. Sorry. I just looked at the clock and I'm like, oh, they're leaving at 8:45 and it's 6:45. Yeah.
Are you taking your diesel truck?
Yeah, how else am I going to get that big old three-horse with living quarters out there?
A Venting Nation did.
I was going to say, you're taking the fancy trailer.
Yeah.
I'm taking the trailer that I don't have to buy a hotel room for 2 weeks in San Ynez. It's
yeah,
like for $500 a night.
How many hours driving is that?
I think, and I told you I would do homework about that. I think it's 12 to 13 hours with the trailer. Because...
And that drive is nightmarishly boring through the desert the first half, and then nightmarishly terrifying through the highways and byways of California the second half.
Oh my gosh. I know, you go and it's like desert, 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 desert. Oh my God, I'm in LA with a giant 3-horse trailer. It's so stressful.
It's stressful driving a car on those highways, let alone a trailer.
I know. I'm that.
What do you do?
A-hole.
Just get in the middle lane and just sit there.
No, I get in the second to right lane because I don't want to be involved with people entering and exiting the freeway. And I put my hazards on and I'm like, booyah, suck it. I'm just going to sit here and go slow and y'all can honk at me all you want. Just don't rear end me.
Because it's not like it's a straight flat road either. It's up and down and around and turns.
No, it's not too. Yeah, it's lots of turns, but
doing
it's not
90
too up and
miles
down.
An hour.
What's really, yeah, what's really nice is at least it's not a mountain climb. That's super. That really adds to the stress.
You know, until I started talking to you, I always thought that I was the only one that got nervous driving through heavily trafficked areas with the horse trailer.
Oh, my God. You'd be unhuman if you weren't. I'll wake up at 4 with butterflies and super nervous. And I'm doing it by myself, too, which just kind of adds to the fun. 3 horses and a dog and me on the road. It sounds like an awesome country song, but I'm definitely nervous.
Yeah, because at least if you have somebody riding shotgun, you could say, can I get over? And they look for you, right? I mean, is that you have help there.
Yeah,
on the highways. And there's not a lot of time to think on those California highways.
Do you know what? I'm loving you making me more nervous.
Yeah,
that's
I thought
awesome.
I'd help here today.
Thank I'm, you. I'm
so well, helpful. Here, how about this? The 20 reasons why diesel trucks are the worst. And this was put out by Eventing Nation a little while back. And Leslie wrote it, of course.
I can give you the number one answer.
What is it? What is it?
I haven't looked at this, but I'll tell you the worst thing about having a diesel truck is pulling into a gas station and there's no diesel.
Well, you're close, actually. That was really close to the number one answer. The number one answer was cars hogging the diesel pump area.
Oh, that's on them.
Yeah.
That's on them. That is the worst. You're like, really?
There's one diesel pump and you got 2 people waiting in line and the rest are clear, right?
Yeah.
And you're sitting there trying to figure out if your trailer's even going to fit in the gas station in the first place. And isn't that the other thing with your big trailer? You're always looking for the gas stations have big pull-ins and big, because a lot of them are tight and you can't make the turn.
And then you're screwed. Thanks, Glenn.
You want to keep, can you hear? How about the fuel price? Well, now, right now, actually,
it's
here.
Cheaper.
Yes.
I filled up yesterday. It was cheaper.
I know. That has been how long? 15 years since that's happened.
When I first bought my diesel truck, I was like, I'm getting diesel because gas is cheaper. And then I think it lasted 3 months. And it's been higher since then. And now it's cheaper.
I want to know if you've ever had this one. Cat calls from guys in trucks that are smaller than yours. Have you ever had a guy catcall you when you're at the gas station?
Do you know what? I'm going to tell you something that's terrible. It wasn't a catcall, but when you have a truck that's taller than other people's trucks, you can see down into their trucks.
Yeah.
And you can see the things that they're doing in their trucks. I find it shocking that men feel the need to do that when they drive.
Oh.
I'm like 6 times that's happened to me.
No, really?
6 times. I'm like, oh my God, that's a wiener. Ah! Like, it's terrible. I can't be the only woman who's seen that, right? When people are driving. Oh. I don't get it. Boys are weird. It's another thing. We just hate men today. Today's a man-hating show.
Food and sex.
So, sorry, that was a really odd turn that took.
Yes, I didn't go there. I want everybody to note that. That was Jamie that went there. Yeah, I just wanted to know that. She also pointed out, and I never thought about this, that she said, what's up with all the hyper-masculine, sexually charged diesel engine names? Powerstroke, Cummings. She's right there.
See? It's not just me.
That's true. And then the wars, the diesel wars, Ford, Chevy, you know, the usual, and everybody got their opinions. And it usually runs in families. A family will be a Chevy family, or family will be a Ford family. And then there's
my dad was Ford. My dad was Ford.
Yeah,
you're the
Dodge girl. Yeah.
Give me a Dodge engine in any truck. It's a Cummings engine. Come on now. Every girl has an opinion. But their trucks are also broken down. I better watch my mouth. I'm getting on the road for 12 hours.
The dirty looks when, and you probably get this one. The dirty looks when people give you when you pull into the Whole Foods parking lot.
Oh, yeah, the truth. They're like,
they're all in their Priuses and you pull in and you're like, your Dodge Ram 2500 diesel going.
I have to park a mile away from Sprouts because they only have like tiny little spaces.
Oh, that's the other thing. It is getting harder to park a truck in a parking lot nowadays. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
And then also your truck earns your reputation in the neighborhood for scaring small children and tormenting dogs and walking people when you get home late because you're rumbling your way through the neighborhood. But your neighborhood, and like ours, has a lot of rumbling. So that's not probably a problem.
Yeah, my truck's quiet compared to some of the jerks out here. Yes.
And then, of course, the problem that everybody has that owns a truck is you're the favorite friend or relative on moving day.
Moving, yeah, it's pretty terrible. It's like, hey, you got a truck, can you come over here and I got to pick up some plants at Lowe's, can you come over here and help me?
For a while we were that person.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we didn't have one for a while, and yeah.
Please, now, can we borrow you and your truck, please?
Do you have two keys with you so that you can, or does your truck work that you can leave it running when you go in to someplace and then come back out and lock it?
I usually just leave it running and walk inside. I'm like, why would I need two keys? I just leave it running.
You're brave. Because you see that in cold areas. Like when we used to live in Pennsylvania, the diesel people used to, when it was really cold, the trucks would just be running while they went to the grocery store and they'd come out and...
I'm not that bad. Yeah. You know, if I'm running into the gas station, you know, I won't leave the car running with the baby inside. So I am not total redneck. I'll at least take the kid out.
The other thing, when we first got trucks, when we were first using trucks, if you were lucky, you could do the speed limit. But now the trucks are so nice and comfy. You're doing, is this true for you? Because you have a car and a truck, right? You have a car too. But
yes.
It always seems like when you're in the truck on the highway, it just seems like you're doing 65 and you look down and you're doing 90.
Uh-huh.
It seems like you're going slower than you are in a truck than a car. Does that make any sense? But it's true.
It's probably the purr of the diesel engine because they run so much lower. You know, they're not at 80. They're not as stressed as they used to be. So the engine kind of, instead of going, it's like, you know, just runs along. Did that make sense?
Yeah. I don't know, but it's true. I mean, you do seem like you look down, you're doing 90. And if I was doing 90 in the car, it'd feel like I was doing 90. But not in the truck. And then the last one, she brought up parking. It's just a pain to park. And I don't know about you, but we still have trouble parking our truck. Jennifer especially has a little trouble.
I have trouble parking my car. Much less parking a diesel truck.
I'm waiting
truck
for the automatic parking truck. I really am. But then the spaces are so narrow, we always do end up parking. You know, we get the extra exercise because we're parking.
I don't even try. Nowhere. Yeah, I just... Yeah. And it's the worst because you have a kid and you're like, I'm going to make my kid walk a mile through a parking lot in 120 degrees.
Right.
So that's fun. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. This was funny too. I found this on Horse and Hound a while back, and we've all had it happen. And that is the horse does all the work and other things not to say to an equestrian.
Oh, cool. Let me hear this one.
Yeah. So does all. So here we go. And this is, of course, English, British, so the connotation's a little different. So does all that riding give you a bigger butt then? Because, you know, but I got to say, I have to say that that's one of the things I liked about horse girls is they have nicer butts.
I was going to say, I think I just have a big butt.
I think horse girls tend, because of the musculature, they tend to have larger butts. I'm just saying. It's one of the things I liked. And then you add that to breeches, and we're back to that conversation we were having before.
See? You need to go get some food. Settle you down.
And then, of course, the most common one that every horse person hears, riding is easy, isn't it? The horse does all the work. That has to be the most common one, right?
My brother has said that to me so many times, and I'm just like, get on and see. Come on. Nope. We won't do it.
And that goes right along with the next one. Riding isn't a real sport.
It's only the most awesome sport because I'm sorry, when you look at the Olympics and everything is segregated sex-wise, I love to point out that it is the only sport where men and women compete as equals.
There you go. And if you think about it, it's also not discriminatory toward age.
Yes. I think of Bruce Davidson all the time when I hear that. I'm like, yeah, wasn't he like 65 in the Olympics winning medals? So
Horses aren't really, or are really expensive, aren't they? Haven't you ever thought that if you got rid of your horse, you could afford fancy holidays and a nice car?
No, because I'd be in therapy and my money would go to that.
Seriously, you get this, his feet done every 6 weeks, but your nails look like that?
Yeah, because of him.
God, why are you making such a fuss? It's just a horse. You've all heard that one, right? Especially when you were growing up in high school.
I think people know better than to say that to me now.
No, now they
There's
wouldn't.
So much that goes along with saying
you
something.
You might have heard that from one of the Air Force women.
You know what? It's so funny that I feel like I live a double life, Glenn, because they all know I have horses at the house, but like none of the Air Force family wives know that I do a radio show where I talk about them. Know that I really, they don't, there's like two or three Air Force wives that bring their little girls over here for lessons and that's about it. But like, seriously, this is like a double life for me. It's awesome. It's awesome. I love it. I just don't talk to people about horses that don't have horses. You know what I mean?
Yep. I mentioned this on the show the other day. I don't know if it was with you or somebody else, but I was at the podcasting thing down in Miami here a couple weeks ago. And one of the guys I was talking to, his podcaster, doesn't know anything about horses. He said, you know what, though? I had to unfriend two of my friends are horse people, and all they do is post pictures of their horses. I just had to unfriend them.
Yep.
Said, yep, welcome to my world.
Unfriend them. I actually had a friend who is not, she's friends with two of us that have horses and she's not a horse person. And she's like, I don't understand. All of a sudden I'm friends with both you on Facebook and now my newsfeed is filled up with horse stuff and my ads are all horse stuff. And I don't even like horses. It's you guys.
You know what I said to him? I said, and now you know why the Horse Radio Network's one of the most popular podcasting networks in the world. Right.
Yo,
there.
Well said. Yep. We love our damn horses.
Yeah, he didn't have much to say about that. And then, of course, the one everybody hears when you're a teenage girl growing up and you're into horses. Ah, this horse thing, it's just a phase. You'll grow out of it.
Yeah, my dad still says that. He's like, oh, she'll get out of a teenager. Oh, wait. Okay, no. Well, she's going to go to college. She'll get... No. Okay, hold on. She's got a real career. Okay. Well, she's getting married. So they, nope. Wait, hold on. She's going to have a kid. So the right. Horses have got to go. Wait, nope. Good luck with it.
I got one more thing to tell you. It was funny yesterday. Somebody asked me, and I hadn't looked forever, if we were on Stitcher, which is a popular app. And I looked on Stitcher to see if Horses in the Morning was there. And we were there. And I kind of knew we were there. We don't get much traffic from Stitcher. But there were two reviews I hadn't read before. And it was so funny because they were right side by side. And the one review said, this show is terrible. The people just talk way too much. And I, and the other review said, this is the best show ever. I love hearing them talk. And I thought to myself, that's life, isn't it, right there? It's the Democrat-Republican thing right there. It's just...
I lost you just for a second, kind of came in out. What show are you talking about?
Our shows. We're on Stitcher, which is an app where people can listen to podcasts.
Okay, Stitcher. Yes, I didn't know what Stitcher was.
Yeah, it's an app where people can listen to music and podcasts. And we had two comments on Horses in the Morning show. And the one was how the show is terrible because we talk too much. Which is kind of the idea of the show. And then
it's a talk show.
Yes. And then the other one was how much they loved it because they like hearing us talk. So
are you talking about the horses in the morning or just the rest of
horses in the morning. Us, you and I. It's like that's kind of the nature of our show.
Do you listen to morning radio and you like those that just play music?
Yeah.
We can't just play music. There's only three artists who allow us to play
exactly.
Their music.
If we did that, it would get really tired.
All right,
really
Glenn,
quickly.
Let's play Stillhouse Jane again.
Again, for the eighth time this morning. All right. Well, you know, one thing we can do, and that's this.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
Before we get started with really bad ads, can I just give you a sample of what it would be like if we had the show that nobody was talking?
Okay, go.
See, it took exactly 20 seconds for Jennifer to get uncomfortable.
That was actually kind of comforting to me. I was like, let's see how long this goes. It
took Jennifer 20 seconds before she couldn't handle it anymore.
Really? She's going to edit that part out,
yes,
probably.
That's right.
Yeah, it's
too uncomfortable.
Take that out. Oh, my gosh.
Let's do that again. That's just
right,
really bad ads that
yeah.
way.
All right. This is the next ad is...
See? She can't even make 10 seconds. 20 seconds was generous. All right, the first ad.
All right, we got a prize, though. Can we talk about that first?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk more about this prize later. So we'll just mention that the prize this week is Carrots, the Carrots competitor coat this month, actually. And we are going to give that away today. We're going to have a big winner today. We have Mary from Carrots coming on the show a little bit later, and she's going to be picking the big winner. So we'll look forward to hearing more about the coat and more about Carrots and more about Mary all later in this segment. But first, we have to do some really bad ads today, and all of the people that sent them in for today are eligible for the coat.
And two entries to those who recorded their own ad.
Did you remember that, Jennifer, to put them in multiple times on the list?
I did. We have quite the list.
Okay, good.
It's like 249 or something. Yeah.
Good. Great. All right. So Deb sent this one in. It was only a matter of time before this one hit. The title is Pokemon Egg Hatching Service in Frederick. This is Maryland. Hello. I am offering a service to walk with your phones to hatch eggs for you. We will arrange to meet in a public place to exchange information. I will walk around Frederick for 2+ hours with your phone on to hatch eggs on Pokemon Go, and then return to the same spot to return your phone. This will be mostly a morning walk, but we can discuss it. We can discuss different drop-off and pickup times. This will be $20 per phone and $5 off if you're part of the Team Instinct. No idea what that is. Exact change in cash only. I will require that your phone be mostly charged, 80 to 90%, and have your game open and data on. I am not responsible for damage to your phone. It shouldn't happen. Phones will have their pictures taken before and after the walk. I am also not responsible for data overages and game server issues. Who the hell is going to give their stranger a phone to use for 2 hours to do whatever the hell they want on it?
This guy is so obsessed with Pokemon Go that he wants to do it with other people's phones and get paid.
And my thought was, who's going to give this guy your phone for 2 hours when he has a disclaimer that he's probably going to use it for other stuff and you're going to be over on your data? Do you think, if we had the phone number, we could call and ask him, how many people are phones are you walking right now around Frederick, Maryland?
Glenn, let me ask you something, Jennifer. Yes. Deb sent in this ad. Did Deb include the phone number? And are you the one that takes these phone numbers out?
I think she's embarrassed to have us call. I think she doesn't want us getting
I think
trouble.
This is one that didn't have a phone number on it. You had to use the email.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, from now on, like, people put the number in it because we've been doing the show for 5 years, Glenn. I want to freaking call somebody.
I know,
and
me
so,
too.
Jennifer, leave them. We can call live on the air and I'll just say, hey, you're live on the radio. Does anybody come and hatch eggs with you? Or whatever the hell it is.
Or I want to know too.
Does anybody want that trailer? Or has anybody traded you a gentle horse for your crazy one? I need answers to these life questions. And you need to start including the phone number.
That'll bring you back to your old radio days in Atlanta.
Oh, without a doubt. I've got to do it. I'm not afraid. Let's do it.
Mary sent the next one in, but you don't have to read it. You get off here, Jamie, kind of easy. Let's have her read it for us.
Awesome.
Pretty Mare, $600. Braid Mare rode nice last summer. Have recently found out she might buck if fresh. Not a bad buck, but she did buck with my son. Mare is 15 years old, stands about 16 hands, ties, lows, good for farrier, can bathe her. UTD on vaccinations, needs a fresh Coggins, gentle, pretty mare. Needs tune-up. Not for beginners. Should, only they put SD, make a good brood mare or an awesome lawnmower slash fertilizer all in one for your UR lawn. Maybe you need a large dog. She can be a dog. Smiley face. Follows you, the letter U, around. Always wants to be petted. Nice in, the letter N, fat. Healthy mare, or letter U, can tune her up, letter N, ride the fresh off her, and have a nice trail horse. Many possibilities. Location, Rising Star, Texas, asking $600, or we'll trade her for, and then there's four question marks. So, you could trade her for just about anything, I imagine.
Mary, well done. That's just a really bad ad. Just a really
you can ride
bad
the
ad.
Fresh off of her.
Ride that fresh right off her. She didn't used to buck, but then my kid got on her and she tried to buck that kid off. So we found out she bucks.
Yeah, I love that one. We found out she bucks a couple of days ago because
and
she bucks.
She's all in one dog lawnmower horse.
Yes.
Scooper fertilizer.
They want that horse so out of there because the hospital bill was high.
That's amazing. All right, mine is next. Susanna sent this one in. Thank you, Susanna. And it comes with pictures. Ooh, Azteca gelding. Do you know what an Azteca is, Glenn?
An Azteca, yeah.
It is half Andalusian, half quarter horse. Azteca gelding, $5,000 in Crete, Illinois. He's very, no punctuation. He's very gentle neck reins. He has a turnaround and a big stop, very fancy. Was sent out to train to dance for 3 months.
Yeah, dance training. He comes home, he walks on his toes, a little
he's
ballet.
Samba.
Yeah,
he
we could
waltzes.
Put some tap shoes on him and a
yeah, he's an amazing. So was sent out to train to dance for 3 months. Now, being from Arizona, I know what that means. Do you know what that means, Glenn?
Dressage?
No. So what they call it training to dance is it's a very Mexican training technique where, it's not like this is a high school dressage, amazing Andalusian. They basically send it to a Mexican guy who teaches it how to do piaf or passage or whatever. And it's not like they took him up to the dressage levels. For 3 months, they basically tied him to a post and whipped his feet and they get him to prance, fancy prance.
Fancy prance.
It's weird. So anyway, it's not like he may do the Spanish walk, but it's not like he happily does it or he was taught in a nice, patient way. Trained to dance.
And
baby.
He's not going
to
be on with Tom Bergeron next year. They are running out of D-list celebrities. So I didn't know.
I just got to dance, Glenn. I've just got
That's
they do need. They're going to probably put a horse in there sometime because, my God, they can't possibly have anybody else watching that show besides my mother.
or a D-list celebrity that hasn't been on the show. They are really running out. I think they're
didn't
at E and F now.
Didn't you think last year they were going to ask us?
Yes, I really thought that we were next. You know, we are in books and everything, so I didn't know. You know, I thought maybe.
Yeah.
Well, Beth sent the following one. It's our trailer of the week. Looks a bit homemade.
That can't be a horse trailer.
I don't think it's a... I don't know what it is. Stock trailer, 11 by 5. I think it was used for goats. Has a divider, steel, good Grammy. It has good Grammy. I have no idea what that is. Tires have some dry rot, but still hold air. If you look at that front tire, I don't think it's holding air, by the way.
And why would you drive a dry rotted tire?
That's the other point. Yes. Still holds air until you get about 2 miles down the road, and then it's not going to hold air anymore.
Okay, but this is like one of those trailers that it looks
homemade.
Like it was in the army.
Yeah, it's homemade.
You know, and there's like gun runners inside.
Yes, this would have been one they would have run moonshine with in the mountains, in the Smoky Mountains in like the 1940s. They could have run moonshine with this one. Yeah.
There's like slats. It's spray painted black, but kind of faded. And the tires are terrible. There is a really actually healthy looking spare, but the jack is twisty thing. There's not even a handle to twist.
No, I don't know how you'd get it on. I don't know how you'd turn the jack.
And it's sitting on like a railroad tie or something. I don't know what. It honestly looks like there's a tree growing out of the middle of it.
It does. You're right. You're right. Jennifer will post a picture on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning.
It is convertible, so it does have that going for it.
And, you know, I got to tell, let me just say, we've had a couple people post that the pictures the last couple of weeks that they're offended because they have had trailers like that or have trailers like that. And Jennifer and I have had a trailer like that up until about 6 months ago. So we weren't offended. There are just some trailers that are ugly looking. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is.
If you get offended,
to be ugly.
Yeah, it's okay.
You can love an ugly trailer.
That's right.
Hold on.
Right?
But people are getting offended during really bad ads.
No, they're like, getting offended. Yes, I know. Good point.
Let's just break this down to stop listening. If you're getting offended during really bad ads, I need you to just turn this off.
Yes, and go give us a review on Stitcher that we're talking too much.
The first ever really bad ads we did, didn't we get like you got negative?
Yeah, and I think those people quit listening after that. But then it was funny because now Really Bad Ads is our most listened to day of the week. So
That's what I'm saying. Like if we're not going to quit.
Yeah.
So so you better just tune us out. Jen sent the next one in. OTTB looking for a home. Noah is a special character. He is not suitable for trail riding beginners or as a Sunday hack or husband horse. He kick and bite and makes it his mission in life to aggravate you as much as possible. That being said, you just can't help but fall in love with his goofy personality. He's at his best when he's ridden 7 days a week.
Jennifer, are you trying to sell Scooter? Are you selling Scooter and didn't tell me?
Keep listening. Oh. Noah is a flashy 5-year-old chestnut with a blaze and the sock and sticks at 16-1. Oh, that's your new horse.
My Scooter companion.
here's the second paragraph. Because the first paragraph didn't sound that bad. Noah does not like having his routine changed. He does best in a group. He must have all day turnout, provided you don't mind that he rips your blankets, loses halters, and bite marks on his pasture mate's bums. He has good feet and is a pretty easy keeper that does not require a ton of grain, though he will happily wolf down an entire bale of hay if given an opportunity, like when you forget to put the snap on his stall door. Noah needs a new mommy or daddy who is an experienced handler and experienced rider. Video available.
You know what, too? It seems like every time you're a boarder and you go to a new boarding barn, they put your horse out first with this one. Because what happens is the boarders figure out who the troublemaker is, and there's always one at a boarding stable. They figure out who the troublemaker is, and then they go to the owner and say, I'm moving my horse unless you take him away. Move him out of Freddie's field. Freddie's just picking on him endlessly, and then you have to move him. And then the next ones come in, and you put him out with Freddie because you got about a month before they figure it out. I'm not saying that because we were at a boarding stable and we might have done that occasionally. I'm not saying that at all. That's not what we certainly didn't.
It's funny. Our pastures have been so peaceful and our feeding times have been so peaceful because Edward has been at the summer home with his new owners and he's back.
Oh, no, not peaceful anymore.
I forgot what a jerk he is until he's gone, and it's so quiet and lovely, and now he's back, and he's attacking horses left and right, you know, in the stalls, and I'm afraid to do the pastures today. I'm turning him out for the first time today, and I don't know what to do.
And every stable has one, right? It's just like, I guess, like when you were in school, every class had that kid. Well, and every barn has that horse.
He's that guy.
Yep, he's that guy. And he just won't let anything alone. Not that we have that. No, Scooter's not like that at all. No, ours are perfect.
Yeah,
Misty sent this one in.
This is Auditor Misty West. I have a really bad ad. The title is Horse. Anybody interested in hauling two horses from Charleston, Arkansas to Palmer, Alaska in August? I would pay for all the expenses. Let me know, thanks. Would be a great chance to drive the Alcan Highway and see the sights. Beautiful time of year. Please let me know. Okay, I just had to know how far that is and how long it would take. Just regular driving time. So I MapQuested it. It's 62 hours and 39 minutes. Best case scenario, it's almost 4,000 miles. Any takers, auditors, HRN listeners, anyone? Not me. Holy mackerel.
Again, the one you'd want to call, right? Did anybody respond about hauling your horse 62 hours
to Alaska? Oh, my God. You know what? I'm just going to drive to Alaska. And you know what? Let me just add to the fun and strap a couple horses in the trailer. Yeah. Oh, my God. There's no way anybody called.
You talk about a stressful trip. I guarantee you there's some hills on that journey. I guarantee you there's some sharp turns and hills on the way to Alaska.
Could you please hire somebody that's professional and won't kill your horses on the way there? By the way, to ship horses that far,
$1 million. You're better to fly.
That's $1 million.
You're better to fly. And how many sets of brakes are you going to go through to go drive to 4,000 miles to Alaska with your horse trailer?
That sounds just awful.
All right, I have the next one. Next one. Beth sent this one in. Is seeking beginner trail horse in Dover, Pennsylvania. Seeking for a client, bomb-proof family-type horse. Something you'd feel safe putting your grandma or a Fabergé egg on. Yeah, aren't we all? Yeah, aren't we all?
Is that it?
That's it. That's all they want. They just a quiet one. And
I
don't care what they look like.
I was looking at the screen, and I was waiting for
you
to finish.
No, that's it. No, that's all they want. It's a simple request, actually. We don't care what it looks like, how tall it is, how old it is. Just got to be able to put grandma on it.
Oh my gosh, how hilarious. Just our Fabergé egg. Sienna sent the next one in, and this is, ISO, a rideable lawnmower with hooves. In search of a rideable lawnmower with hooves. I have two small pastures that are better than knee-deep in excellent grass and would like to have a rideable horse to help fix this problem. I'm not looking to saddle break anything out of your PRCA or NFR bucking horse string. Where's Reigate?
Does sound southern, though.
I don't have any cattle yet, although I'm looking for a couple head of those miniature ones. So, I don't need a roping horse. I just like one that's tame enough to walk up to, put a saddle on, and just ride around for a while. This is southern. The next line is, my missus might be into crafts, but that doesn't mean I'm looking for a glue factory prospect, as we do have a vehicle suitable to get to Walmart, or I can buy my own glue gun. What? I've seen horses priced from $3,000 to $15,000, so I'm hoping to get in on the lower end of that spectrum.
Bet you are.
I would also need it to be brought to me, as I do not have a trailer. No. I'm kind of hoping for something either big enough or broad enough so I don't look like a pair of training wheels mounted on the side of the horse. I'm not vain. I just don't want to look any dumber than my ex-wives already think I am.
He's honest and he knows himself. He's comfortable with where he is in life, this guy.
I got a new missus. She ain't figured it out yet. But I'm hoping that she don't figure it out because I need a big horse to make me not look really dumb.
He knows he's got like 2 years with this one. So can't look like a complete idiot right away. Oh, that was funny.
That's a big stretch, too, to go from crafts to the glue factory.
Yes, I know. I know. I thought about that. Oh, Sienna, that one was great. All right. The next one, last one for the day, and then we pick our big winner for the month of the Carrots Jacket. First, we have to hear from Allison, who did this one herself.
Mini Horse Starter Kit. 1 year Silver Bay, $300. It's in Alamo. Miniature Philly starter kit for sale. You have the room, I have everything else. If you want a loving little pocket pony, she's the one for you. She needs muscle, that's all. She isn't underweight. She's just a gangly baby that could use a little muscle. She eats alfalfa hay, grass hay, sweet feed, and grazes. She eats just fine. I will send all of her things I have left, as she is my last one. I am asking $300 for her and all of her belongings. She has almost 2 full bales of alfalfa, 4 to 5 bales of hay, about 20 pounds or so of sweet feed, salt mineral block, lead and halter. She has been updated on her wormings, last one being June 1st, Quest Plus.
Well, first of all, Allison, well read. You can just do this every Friday for me and I'll take off.
I almost felt like she was selling me that.
No, she did sound sort of like a infomercial, didn't she?
That's a really smart way to get your ad out there is if you need to sell a horse, just record it, send it to us. We'll play it in really bad ads and we'll be like, dang, that was good. Why don't you send that to us?
That was well read, Allison. Well read.
Did anybody think that mini is really way too fat because it eats way too much food?
Yet she kept saying over and over in the ad that it's not skinny. So people must have been telling us Eleanor was skinny. I don't know.
I think it means it's really, really fat.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Well, alfalfa, bales of alfalfa. Hey, we'll do that to a mini.
Why does it never needs alfalfa. Hey, wait, I was thinking about giving my, no. That's no, right. Your mini does not need alfalfa. Okay. Well, what about no? Don't feed it that. Well, I was thinking about no. Stop thinking about it because it's not going to be good.
Well read, everybody. We appreciate everybody reading their own ads and sending them in. You're on the list twice now, thanks to Jamie's edict last week. She had an executive order that anybody that reads their own ads will be put on the list twice for the prizes. And speaking of prizes, we have my friend Mary from Carrots on with us. We've been talking about the Carrots competitor coat all month, and giving one away at the end of the month for our winner of really bad ads. And we have Mary on with us. Hi, Mary.
Hey, Glenn, how are you?
Good. So good to talk to you again. I'll be seeing you in 2 weeks, right? Are you coming out?
Absolutely. We are looking forward for the trade show.
Yes, another runway show. It's the only runway at Ada there at the Carrots booth.
Absolutely.
Okay, I've got to ask, what's the upcoming new color? Because I always buy Carrots new colors.
Oh, there's some good ones. There's a nice blue stone, which is a rich, bright blue. The Marina, which is kind of a Caribbean color, and then also a sorbet palette. So there's a little bit of everything.
Sounds like Jamaican colors are in this year.
That blue one sounds amazing.
Yes, and then
amazing.
Of course we have our signature prints that go with everything. So there will certainly be something for everyone.
And for those that don't know what I'm talking about, they're the only ones at the American Equestrian Trade Association show that we broadcast from twice a year. They're the only ones that actually do a runway show, and they have runway models and everything. And the nice part about their runway show is there are actual riders and actual human beings with curves that are in their shows.
Absolutely. Yeah, we bring Jessica Heidemann out from the West Coast, one of our team riders. She's been doing it for about 10 years now, so...
I always like seeing Jessica's an eventer and super sweet, super nice. And then you always get the cute little kids that get the most attention of anybody at the whole show.
We do. We have our two mini models coming back again.
Cool. They're so cute.
They are excellent.
They run around in their little Carrots outfits.
Luckily with all of our kids' sizes, we can just keep switching their sizes and they can be involved for many years to come.
And they don't even make them wear those little sandwich board advertising things because you wouldn't. That'd be cute though if you did. It would be really cute.
It would be cute. And actually, with those two, they probably would.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. They're deaf. We'll have to get one of them on the air with us during the show from Ada.
Absolutely.
We'll bring one of them over. They aren't going to have any trouble talking. Well, Carrots competitor coat. Tell us about the prize we're giving away.
So the Carrots Competitors coat is an awesome show coat. It is made of a stretch woven dynamic extreme fabric. So some of the properties that really set it apart is it's ultra lightweight and breathable and has got great stretch. And then it is also machine washable and you can put it in the dryer. So for everyone going to horse shows, this is definitely a key element for when you return and need to clean your coat. And it also then has a hidden zipper underneath three snaps. So it really offers a customized fit, as well as having two hidden zip pockets. So it's really kind of a jacket that has everything. And then it is priced phenomenally well at $129 in ladies and $109 in kids. So it's an awesome price point jacket for any rider out there.
Since riding jackets have become washable, you see a lot more clean jackets than you used to because you never got around to taking them to the dry cleaner. What a pain that was.
Exactly. And one of the fun things with this coat, too, is we do it in a variety of different colors. And a couple, the black, the cinder, both have white piping. And a fun thing that Carrie discovered is that you can take a Sharpie to the white piping and give it a customized color. So that's particularly fun for kids if purple or pink is their color and they want to just have a little pop detail on their collar.
Well, very good. Are you ready to pick a winner?
I'm ready.
Well, and of course, you can find all of this at carrots.com. That's K-E-R-R-I-T-S. I think anybody that doesn't know that yet hasn't been in the horse world more than 10 minutes. but we'll give it out anyway, carrots.com. Does all the stuff still come with the little bag of carrots seeds?
It does, absolutely.
Cool. Do you ever have people sending you pictures of the carrots that they've grown?
We've gotten those quite a lot, and, you know, they're a very diverse range from little tiny carrots to large ones, and people do have a fun time sending that information in.
Oh, good. Cool. Well, Jennifer, what numbers does she have to pick from?
She needs to pick between 1 and 249.
200?
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Lots of entries.
So what do we got?
All right, I'm going to go with 15.
15.
15? All right.
Up, yes. Up, 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 1-5.
Up the list, and the winner is Stephanie Eileen, the girl with two first names.
Stephanie Eileen is the big winner. Thank you so much for sending all your entries in, everybody. And thank you, Stephanie. We'll get to make sure Stephanie gets in contact with you for size and color and everything. Put that together.
Absolutely.
Mary, thank you so much for doing this in the month of July. We really appreciate you being the prize for Really Bad Ads this month, and I'm looking forward to seeing you in a couple weeks.
Such an awesome prize, too. I mean, that's how we got so many entries, and then we doubled entries for a certain type of recording, and so it was pretty great.
So thank you for doing that.
Well, excellent. We look forward to participating again and seeing you guys in a couple weeks.
Well, you know what? Holiday Radiothon's coming up. I need to talk to you about that. So we'll talk about that in a couple weeks, all right?
Put that on our list.
All right. Thanks, Mary.
Awesome. You guys have a great day.
Way to go, Stephanie Eileen.
Stephanie Eileen. I think she's from Manhattan, isn't she? I think
I
she's
know.
From New York City. I think Stephanie stopped here to visit us once.
I don't stalk our listeners, Glenn, so I
don't
really know
me.
Where to live.
I'm so popular. You know, they
just write you and go, hey, let me tell you about myself.
Yes, that's right. You should see the kind of emails I get, Jamie. Uh-huh. Only you knew. That's it for this week. Thank you so much. Jamie's got to get on the road. She's got to get her child out of the house, get her husband out of the house so she can finish packing to get over to Monty's place.
One hour and 17 minutes till they head to the
Do you
airport.
Have a little alarm set on your...
It's phone. Yeah, it's called my soul right now at this point. You hear that?
Hi, Lucas. Go charge his iPad. All right, that's it for this week. Thanks, everybody. All the other shows on the Horse Radio Network are out for the week. Go check them out. Stable Scoop this week. We did a listener interview, and I'm sorry to everybody that's been a listener the week before this year. Yours is not the cutest anymore. The cutest listener interview ever on Stable Scoop this week. Our youngest listener that we know about. She listens every week. She's 8 years old, and she had some opinions. So you'll want to take a listen to Stable Scoop this week. It was a lot of fun.
Great. That's great.
8-year-olds with opinions. That's always good for entertainment. And you can find them all on our app, iOS or Android. Download it today. It's free, and it's easy to listen to all the shows.
My son has figured out the app store.
Oh, really?
No, he just wants to go
through everything. You better put a parental controls on that thing.
Oh, I've got everything password protected. I can't even buy anything anymore.
Probably a good thing anyway. All right. Have a great trip, Jamie, and we'll talk to you when you're there on Monday.
Thanks.
Games on my phone.
Shut up. Hour and 15 minutes. 16. Now 15.